Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the bottom line of Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. You may note that there is a bracket that begins this section, the second word on the line, Omarleh, and the brackets continues, the bracketed section continues down quite a few lines on Lamites Omar Aleph. In our previous sugya, the Gemara was discussing the issue of the effects of cooking on vegetables and fruits, and we mentioned that Reb Chiya Bar Abo had seen Reb Yochanan eating a salted or pickled olive, and Tosfos pointed out that pickling is tantamount to cooking. And in that discussion, the issue of what bracha does one make came up. The Gemara will then, after this bracketed section, pick up on the issue of the bracha story on cooked vegetables and suggest on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph that it may be a machloikis tanoim. However, before we get to that, we have a bracketed section, and the reason this is bracketed is because the issue here is not necessarily the type of bracha rishona. That's not the issue here, the type of bracha rishona, the first bracha that you will be making. That it was the previous discussion, which will be picked up. Over here, the issue is quantity of food required for justifying a final bracha, a bracha achrona. And that's why this section is bracketed off, because it's dealing with a different topic. The issue of, as we've noted on the side under our nosei heading, the topic heading, and we indicate bisograyim in brackets, b'inyan shiur kezayis lebracha achrona, regarding the issue of olive quantity of food consumption to justify a bracha achrona. That having been said, we now start with the bracketed section at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yochanan hechi mevorech al zayis meliach. How could Rabbi Yochanan have made a final bracha as was reported by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the previous Gemara? What seems to be the problem? Kivan deshkila legar inei basar le shirei. One does not eat olive pits. Well, once the olive pit is removed, so the quantity of food matter, ironically, even though we're dealing with an olive, it's less than an olive size, because when we measure an olive size worth of food for final bracha recitation, it's the entire olive size, including the pit. But when eating, as we say, ironically, when eating the olive itself, and you're not consuming the pit, so there should be no basis for a final bracha. So how could Rabbi Yochanan have made a final bracha? Omar Lei, so Rabbi Zeira, who was asked the question, says, Mi savris kezayis gadol b'inan, who says that in order to justify a brocha achrona, one needs to have a large olive? Olives come in different sizes. Who says that one has to have consumed a large olive in quantity of food? Kezayis beinoni b'inan. What is required is an average size olive of food. The olive in the Rabbi Yochanan story, in fact, was a large olive. The afagav de shaklu legar inisei, that even though the pit was removed, posh le shiura, the required quantity of food remained. Disnan, Zayas Shamru. This is a Tanaic source. You can see we have it in a frame, and we are here on the fifth line from the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Zayas Shamru, the Zayas that has been spoken about regarding quantities of food, lo katan v'lo gadol, lo beinuni, not large, not small, but average. Vizehu aguri, and it's called the Zayas aguri. V'omra b'avo, lo aguri shmo, ela avruti shmo. Technical name of this kind of olive is the avruti, not the aguri. V'amri lo samrusi shmo. Some say that the name is samrusi. V'loma nikra shmo aguri. Why has it become commonly known as the aguri olive? Sheshimnoi ogur besocho. It's oil is stored up within it. Rashi says, "Ogur besochu mezuman lotzeis m'menu shenu nivla b'fri kemashke tapuchim v'tutim el ogur kemashke anovim." It's stored up and ready to come out, as opposed to other fruit juices that are absorbed within the fruits themselves. So what we have done now, we finished the bracketed section, pointing out that the amount of food for justifying a final bracha is an average olive size in food quantity. And Rabbi Yochanan happened to have eaten that amount of olive, actual olive fruit, insofar as with the olive he was served was a large olive, and upon removing the pit, you're left with an average olive amount of food material. Now we go back to the previous sukkah, which was the effect that cooking has on the bracha rishona to be recited over food. Does the cooking change the status of the food from what originally was? If we're talking about vegetables, originally you would assume it had a borei pri adoma, and through cooking, would that change it to a shehakol or not? We saw that this was a machloikis on the previous staff. The number of different shittas were presented on that staff. And just looking back at Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, you can see that, for example, the upper part of the page, Rav said that shlokos, cooked vegetables, you make borei pri adoma. We saw Rabbi Yochanan quoted as saying, you make a shehakol. And this machlok has continued quite a bit way down the Omud on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So now we want to notch it up to an earlier generation of scholars and say, Neimo Kitanui. Shall we say that this issue of the effects of cooking on food, be it a machlokes tanoim? Now, we have a long question marking that we've put into the Gemara. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines of Gemara form the question. Within the long question marking, we will also note a bracketed section. The Gemara continues. Neimo ketanoi. Dahano means, should we say that this is a machlokes tanoim? Dahano tre tamide, dahavu yasvi kame de bar kapora. There were two students seated in the presence of bar kapora. Bar kapora was a personality that lived at the very end of the Tanaic period, at the beginning of the crossroads or the changeover between the Tanaic and Amoraic period. So there were two students of his sitting in his presence, Havu Lufonov, Kruv Vudurmaskin Upargios, and they were served these different food items. In Gemara markings, we don't generally translate food stuffs and animals and plants unless they're commonly used expressions all through the ages. So, well, suffice it to say that the kruv and the durmaskin are in the realm of plant life, and the pargios are birds. The brocha over pargios would certainly be a shehakol. Now, nosan bar kapor reshus leechod mehen levorech. And Bar Kapora gave rishus to one of them to lead in the recitation of the bracha. Kofatz uborach al hapargios. So one of the students lunged forth and made his bracha a shehakol on the pargios, which is bird meat. Ligleg olav chavero, and the other one that was seated there jeered at him. In other words, he opted to say a shehabrocha over a shehakol item when there were these borei priho adoma items of in front of them to be blessed. to in anticipation of their being eaten. Now, let us skip the brackets that you see. The bracket length indicator appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the vertical dash dotted line. And we just pick up afterwards so as to preserve the train of thought. My love, is it not so that Behal Komifli, the two students that you'll notice we double underlined them. We'll call them those two opinions. Are they not arguing about the following? The Mevorech Sovar, the one who actually made the brocha and he made it on the bird meat, which was the shakol. He holds Shloko Supargish Shakol Niyad Bidvaro. Both of them have the same level, the same text of brocha. If you were to have eaten the vegetables, and these were cooked vegetables. We didn't emphasize that before, but that's what they were. The kruv and the durmaskin that were featured before were cooked, and they, according to this opinion, the one that lunged forth and made the brocha on the birds, he would have made the same brocha anyway on the kruv and the durmaskin, and being that he sees Shlokos as having a shehakol brocha, hilka chaviv odiv. Therefore, in order to settle what you make your brocha on, you choose the most desirable of the items, of the food items, to make the brocha. Umalagleg Savar, the other one, the one who jeered, held Shlokos as borei pruadoma, pargios equals shakol niyabidvoro. Here you have two food items with different types, different level brochas. Hilka pira odiv. Therefore, the vegetable, the cooked vegetable, will take precedence because it has a higher level, a more precision, as opposed to general bracha, more specific bracha. When we say a general type bracha, we're referring to shehakol, and a specific bracha is something like borei pri adama, which is more focused, more specific. So this would be, if our suggestion is correct, we said neimo katanoi, so we would have now presented these two opinions as to what effect Shlokos has. According to the Mevorech, Shlokos has the effect of knocking the vegetables down a notch to shehakol, and according to the Malagleg, who jeered him, who made the brocha shehakol when he should have made, when you have two different brochas, you have to say the higher quality or the more significant bracha, and as we've said in the past, the more specific a bracha is, the greater significance it has. So, as we said, it would appear that this is a machlokas tanoim. The Gemara, right after this, says, Loi, the kule alma shlokos apagias shakli nebidvoro. Everyone, as far as these opinions are concerned, these students of Bar Kappara, they all would agree that Shlokos is no different than Pargios, and hence Shlokos will get a shakol. But before we develop this any further, let's go back to the bracketed section. We saw these two students, one lunging forth to make a shakol on the birds, and the other one jeering him. So now in the bracketed section, Bar Kappara enters the picture. Koras Bar Kappara Omar. He got angry and he said as follows. There's a diamond around the word lo here, and a few lines later to make the reading easier so we can focus Bar Kappara's points. He says, Lo ala mevorach ani kais, I'm not angry with the one who made the brocha, elo al hamalagleg ani kais, I am upset with the one who ridiculed or jeered. Im chavercha doima kemi shelo toam tam bosu miolom, if your friend who lunged forth to make the brocha on the bird meat is someone that's overly, we'll say, consumed with a desire to eat that, making it very desirable to him, what were you ridiculing him for? Chazar v'yomar. Then Bar Kappara turned about and said, "Lo alam lagleg ani kais, alam avorch ani kais. I am angry with the one who led the brocha." V'yomar im chochma ein kan, zikna ein kan. He basically, this phrase means that he should have consulted with me. I'm a sage. I was present. He should have consulted with me, and yet he took the initiative on deciding which item should be blessed first. So the Gemara goes on and says, "Tana ushneim lo hotziu shnasan." These two students who behaved in an unacceptable fashion, they neither one of them lived out the year. So, as we said before, and we'll read this again, my lav b'chol kamifliki, what must be concluded? That the following is the basis of this controversy between the Kofatz and the Malagleg. The Mevorech Sofar, the one who said Shalkol Hol, Shlokos Upagis, Shalkol Nevedvaro, both Shlokos, the cooked vegetables, and the birds generate a Shalkol benediction. Hilko Chavivodiv, then, when you have two brochas on the same level, the way to decide which item should have the bracha recited over it, and you'll eat it and then eat the other thing too, then Hilka Chovivad, if the more desirable food item is the deciding one over which to make the bracha. Umelagleg Savar, the one who was jeering, held Shlokos Borei Pri Huadoma, Pargios Shakol Nevedvaro. There are two different kinds of brachas, and being that that's the case, Hilkoch Pira Adif, the bracha you make over the pira, over the vegetation, is a greater, is a more significant bracha. So it seems that the issue of the effect of cooking on food would be a machlokas tanoim. And by the way, with our markings, you can see how we've dashed underlined shlokos in each case, so you can see how shlokos, which is the cooked vegetables, how the bracha changed or did not change accordingly. The Gemara now rejects this analysis, says, Lo, dekuli alma shlokos upagis shal kol niyed bivoro. As far as our opinions on this page, the Mavarech and the Malaglik, they would all agree that the bracha on shlokos is shehakol. Va'ocha b'hai svaro kol miflegi. And it's in the following that you find the machloikas. In other words, if they all agree that shlokos and pargios are on the same level, so what's the point of machloikas? Morsovar choviv odif, that when you have two items of the same bracha, so you go according to the more desirable one. And that's what the Mevorech did. He had greater desire for the pargis, for the bird meat, than for the vegetables. Morsovar kruv odif design. The Malagleg held that kruv had a added quality over the other food substances in the story, is that it is design. Zion means nourishes and sustains a person because it has that quality, so that gives it greater significance. Before we go on in the Gemara, we notice in the margin the Nosei Mivneh heading. You will notice a triangle appears, and we've written these are Shnei Deos Ma Mevorchem Al Gargilidei Deliftah. We will look in the Rashi under this Gargilidei Deliftah. He says, Roshei Liftos, a lefes is a type of vegetable, and the Gemara will be discussing the issue of the vegetable in a shredded form. Does the shredding have an effect on the bracha? The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Zeira, Ki havinon bei Rav Huna, when we were learning in the yeshiva of Rav Huna, Omar Lon, he told us, Hani Gargilidei Deliftah, Parminu primo rabo, if they are shredded into large shreds, bori prihadoma, then that is the bracha. Primo zuto, if they're finely shredded, shakol niyepidvoro. The bracha changes. And Rashi points out that in these cases we're talking about the vegetable eaten in its original form. We're not talking about something cooked. The Gemara continues, V'chi ason lebei Rav Yehuda, Omar lon idi v'idi, when I came to learn by Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Zera says, that he told us both the large shredded and the finely shredded, borei priyadoma, that will be the brocha, v'hai de parminu tvei, the extensive shredding is kihechi de nimtik tame, that brings out the taste all the more, to sweeten it more. But it's not here to alter the bracha. Omar Rav Ashi, ki havinon bei Rav Kahana. Omar Lon, when we were learning in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, he told us the following. Now, you see the circling is a continuation of the different types of food items. And on the side of the Gemara, we have our topic heading, Ma Mevorchim al Tavshil de Silka. What bracha will be made on a dish made of selik? A selik is a type of vegetable. Rashi refers to it by the term tradin from time to time. So the what is the bracha on this tafshil, where it has ma'at kemach, and tafshil de lifta, a lefis is another type of vegetable which has harbe kemach, a lot of flour in it. So the tafshil de silka has little flour, and the tafshil de lifta has a lot of flour. So our Gemara reads, Rav Kana told us, tafshila de silka, de lo mafshu be'al kimcha, mafshu means increased or a lot, where there isn't a lot of kemach in it, a lot of flour, bore prio adoma. The lifta, the tafshil of lifta, the mafshu bei bo kimchot fei, has a large amount of flour in it, borei mine mizonos. The hodar omar, and then he turned around and said, idi v'idi borei pri ha'adoma. Both of these dishes will have a borei pri ha'adoma brocha recited, even the one that has a lot of flour in it, behind the shavi bo kimchot fei, that which it has a lot of kemach in it is ledbuki ba'alma avdi la. It's there to serve as a type of coalescing or adhesion ingredient to keep the pieces, to enable the pieces to stick together. Ledbuki is to stick together. And it's not there really for taste purposes. It's more for body purposes. And even though you're dealing with the chamishas minei doga, and you're talking about flour, and we've learned in the past the halacha of Rav and Shmuel that any food that has in it the chamishas minei doga gets a borei mein and mazonos, that's not the case if it's added for body and not for taste. Omar Rav Chisda, tafshil shel tradin, yofel alev, a tradin dish, it's a cooked dish made of tradin, and we saw before that we mentioned before that Rashi explained silka as tradin, so we'll assume these are interchangeable type names for this vegetable. A tafshil made of tradin is yofel alev atova anayim. It's good for the heart. It's good for eyesight. The kolshekin livnemeh, and all the more so for the digestive tract. Omar Abaye v'hu di yosef abe tofi ve'ovid tuch. Provided it's very well cooked. Rashi explains the terms in this Gemara as follows. Maya de silka, Dibur hamaschil, abei tofi, almokam shvisas kadera, that the pot is sitting where pots sit when they are cooking. V'ovid tuch, kloma shesholuk v'nimche ma'uid. It's extremely cooked, and it's so cooked that nimche usually means it's dissolved. There are many different kinds of vegetables. When they're cooked extensively, they start to lose their form. So it's nimche ma'oid v'ku resichasa, the noise of the cooking, nishmas kekol tuch. That's the sound that the boiling makes. Omar Rav Popov, Shinto li, Maya de silka ke silka, umaya de lifta ke lifta, umaya de kulu shalki ke kulu shalki. So these first points, we numbered them 1 through 3, are points that are obvious to Rav Popa, and it has to do with vegetables that are cooked, and one is eating the broth, the vegetable broth. That in each one of these cases, whether it's selik broth or lefis broth or any kind of vegetable broth, the brocha will be like the original vegetable item, and that would mean that it's going to be a borei pri hadoma. Boy, Rav Papa, maya de shivsa mai. What about shivsa, which ostensibly is a type of spice plant? It's a seasoning plant that's put in dishes, ostensibly, but we're going to go over this in greater detail in a moment. And the issue is, if you want to drink the water in which the shivsa was cooked. Rashi says the shivsa, using his French word, is anit. So here the Gemara asks, "My limtuke taimo avdi, is the shivsa there for imparting a taste into the dish that it's cooked? Or is it a plant that's put into a pot to absorb the dirt that exudes from the cooking that's taking place, from the many times different types of food items. As they're cooking, they exude waste or dirt, and that this plant is there for that purpose. Now, if it's there for taste, so that if you then drink the soup of the shivta after it was cooked, the broth, so you will make a bracha. You will make a bori pri adama bracha. If, however, it's there for what's called lavure, to pass away, to clean up the zuama, the dirt, then it's not going to warrant a bracha. Toshma, so we bring a Tanaic source from the realm of Trumos, and it says Hasheves Mishenosno Tam Bekdero Ein Bo Mishum Trumo. The Sheves plant, once it's been cooked, and now you take out of the pot the leaves or the branch of whatever this was, as whatever remains after it's cooked. So let's say a non Kohen would eat it. We're talking once again about Truma, which is a tithe given to Kohanim, and only Kohanim are allowed to eat from it. Let's say you take this Sheves plant after it's been cooked, and a non-Kohen were to eat from it. There is no problem. It's not considered a Truma violation by a non-Kohen eating it. The Eino Mitama Tumas Ochlan, and it no longer would be in the realm of food defilement. What do we see from this? We see that the whole purpose of the Sheves, which is the Shivta plant that Rav Papa asked about, is Limtuke Taimo Avdilo Shmamino. This is conclusive proof that it's there for its taste. And therefore, the broth that is present after the cooking of the Sheves will generate the need for a bracha. The Gemara now gets into a new topic, and this has to do with brachas that are bread related. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Birchas Hamotzi, Al Sholem, Al Prusa, the bracha of Hamotzi on a loaf, on a complete loaf, on a piece, on a slice. And we'll see double underlining that appears under the Mivneh heading, the structural note. We indicate with a double underline that these are Deos Benosei Hanal, different opinions on this topic. Our Gemara, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Pas Tznuma Bekaora Mivorchin Oleo Hamotzi. Pas Tznuma, Tznuma is dried bread, something like toasted bread, in a bowl. And Rashi adds here, Pas Tznuma Yovesha Shenosna Bekaora Lishrois. It's dried bread, literally dried out, and it was put into a bowl or a pan to soak and probably freshen it up. So the bracha recited over this is Hamotzi. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya. This opinion of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi is at odds with Rabbi Chiya's opinion. The Omer Rabbi Chiya, Tzorach Shetichle Brocha Im Hapas. The bracha that one recites shall be the conclusion of the recitation of the bracha will be with the pulling apart of the slice from the loaf. Now, that is different than Rav Chiya Bar Ashi's case, which featured something that was already sliced. Rashi says, "Tzorf shetichle birchas hamotzi im prisas haprusa min hapas." You're ending up the bracha, which ends with the word ha'aretz. So as you're saying, as you're finishing the word ha'aretz, you're also pulling apart the slice that you made from the loaf. V'hai porus v'yomidu, and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was talking about something that was already sliced. So at this very superficial initial reading of the Gemara, there the Gemara pits Rav Chiya against Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, and insofar as that they are arguing. One says that the bracha of Hamotzi is made on the bread after it's already been sliced, and Rav Chiya says the bracha is made as you are pulling apart the slice. Maskif lo Rava. Rava asks, my Shna tsenuma delo. Why is it the Reb Chiya says that you wouldn't make the Birchas Hamosi on the Tzenuma case of Reb Chiya Barashi? Mishum dechi kalya brocha aprusa kakal. Because when you're finishing the brocha there, you're making a brocha, you're finishing the brocha on something that's sliced. It's already sliced. Ala pasnami kigal gomra. Well, even Reb Chiya's case with the brocha made on the loaf as it's being sliced, when you come to finishing the brocha, aprusa gomra, the brocha is concluded on something that's already sliced. At that point, it's already sliced. Rashi says, aprusa, kevon de amris im prises aprusa tichle, since you said that with the breaking apart, the separating of the slice, the brocha ends. My chashivusa o my ahanisa. Of what greater significance is there in Reb Chiya's approach to that which Reb Chiya Bar Ashi mentioned? The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Elo Omar Rava mevorech v'acharkach boltzea. Rava says, finish the entire bracha and then separate the slice from the loaf, so that when the bracha itself is being completed, the loaf is still one unit. Rashi says on the top, Ela Omar Rava mevorech v'acharkach boltzea, gomer kol habracha, finish the entire bracha v'acharkach mafrish aprusa, then separate, pull aside, pull apart the piece. The kalya bracha pas shalim. That way, the bracha concludes on what is still a complete, a whole loaf. The Gemara continues with different opinions and approaches to this matter. Nardoi avdi kribchia. In Nardoi, they practiced like kribchia. Rabbonon avdi kirova. Omar Ravina, Omra li'em. Ravina tells us that his mother or his foster mother had told him. The word aim in other Gemaras you find in the case of Abaye, he quotes aim and it's his foster mother. So it's a woman that raised him and she reported to Ravina, Avuch Ovid Kerebi Chia, your father practice like Reb Chiya. To Amar Reb Chiya, Tzorf Shetichle Brocha Im Hapas V'Rabonan Avdi Kerova, as we saw just before. The Hilchasa Kerova, the Amar Mevorech, the Acharkach Botzea, and the Gemara itself concludes to go like Rava, that you would complete the Brocha and then pull apart the slice. The Tosfos Amir Tzeshem, for those who are interested in our Tosfos Shir, will Mirz Hashem learn greater detail regarding this topic and the learning of the top Tosfos on this Omid. The Gemara continues. Itmar heviu lefnehem psisin ushlemim. A person was served. Psisin are pieces, as even the word in Hebrew suggests, and shlemim full units. Full loaves or full complete rolls. So you've got slices and rolls. Omar Rav Huna, Mevorech al hapsisim upoter es ashlemen. Rav Yochanan Omar, Shlemo mitzvah min amufchar. According to Rav Yochanan, it's very clear he wants you to make the brocha on the complete unit, the whole loaf or the whole roll. According to Rav Huna, it seems that there's an option that one could make the bracha on the pieces, and that would exempt the shlemim. There happens to be a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on how to learn this particular Gemara, especially how to learn Rav Huna. So, being that we're doing the Daf Gemara right now, we'll take a look at Rashi's pshat, because we're in Gemara markings focusing primarily on Rashi's pshat. And as we mentioned just earlier, for those who are interested in additional Mefarshim, so we'll, Mirz Hashem, in our Tosfos Shir, look into the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. But for now, Rashi, on the second line from the top, Sisinu Shleiman, Omer Avuna, Im Rotza Mevorech Al Hapsisim, Ve'im Hapsisim Gedoylim Min HaShleiman, if the pieces in this story are larger than the whole units, Sorich Levorach Aleihem, then Rav Huna is telling you have to make the bracha on the larger pieces. So that Rav Huna is telling us that if the pieces and the rolls aren't the same size, so then you have the option of making the bracha on the pieces. If the pieces are, the slices are larger than the loaves or the rolls that are there, then you have to make it on the pieces. So according to Rav Huna, size is the determining factor. According to Rabbi Yochanan, wholeness is the determining factor. The Gemara continues, Aval prusa shel chitin ushlema shel sa'irim min ha'sa'irim. Here already we're introducing a new element. It's not just a case of pieces and whole, but rather it's a piece of wheat bread or an entire loaf or roll of barley bread. Divrei hakol mevorach ala prusa shel chitin v'poter es ha'shlema shel sa'irim. Everyone is in agreement that you will make your bracha on the chita bread, even though it happens to be a slice as opposed to something complete. In the Tosfos, you will see that he brings out that the significance of the chita is that it appears first in the pasuk that features these different varieties of food, and we're referring to the pasuk that mentions the seven varieties of food that the land of Israel was blessed with. And in that pasuk it says, Eretz chita usa'ora. So chita is mentioned first, giving chita significance. Amar b'Yirmiya bar Abba, ketanoi. This statement of Rav Yirmiya bar Abba will be evaluated after we read this Tanaic source in the frame, and the Gemara will suggest, is it not so that this issue of Rashi focuses, by the way, this the issue of Prusa Shel Chitim and Shleima Min HaSa'irim is a Machlokes Tanoim. As far as the Gemara is concerned, Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan don't argue about that case. We dashed underline where it said Divrei HaKol. Everyone agrees, as far as Amoroyim, that you'll make the bracha on the Prusa of Chitim. The Gemara, when Rav Yirmiya bar Abba thinks that the case of Prusa Shel Chitim Shleima Shel Sa'irim is a Machloikes Tanoim, the Gemara will try to push that point, but the Gemara will in effect reject it. So let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Kitanoi. The issue of Prusa Shel Chitim versus Shleima Shel Sa'irim, a slice of wheat bread and a whole barley bread loaf, seems to be a Machlokes Tanoim. The topic is Hafroshas Truma, the tithing of Truma, and more specifically the tithing of Truma from a butzel. A butzel is very often translated as an onion. So the source reads, Tormen butzel katan sholem, avalo chatzi butzel godol. Here you have the Tanakama that places emphasis on tithing from a whole unit. Let us make an assumption that a chatzi butzel godol has a better taste. The larger the onion, the better the taste. The better. It's better considered more desirable. Yet, the Tanakhama says that when tithing, you should tithe the sholem. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, loiki elo chatzi butzel godol. Rabbi Yehuda says, go for the better one. So my lav b'hol kumifugi. Should we not then assume that the following is their machlokes? The morsovar choshev odif. The opinion of Rabbi Huda would reflect that the more choshev thing gets precedence. The more choshev thing in that case was the chatzi butzel godol, and in our case with the wheat and the barley, the wheat sliced bread and the barley complete roll. So the wheat is considered more choshev. Umar Sovar Sholem Odif, and the opinion of the Tanakhama, who said your mafresh botzel koton sholem, he places emphasis on wholeness. And according to that opinion, so that the whole barley roll would get greater significance or precedence and preempt the brocha on the wheat sliced bread. The Gemara now says that as far as trying to align this as a machlokas tanoim, trying to set up the din of prusa shachitim and shlema shel serum as a machlokas tanoim, based on the botzal hafrosha case, is not so simple. Hecha deika kohen kule alma lo pligi. If there is a kohen in your presence, everyone will agree. The Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the choshev adif, that in other words, you'll give from the chatzi botzal gadol, because that's more choshev. So then everyone will agree with the choshev adif. Ki pligi deleka kohen. There's a technical machlokas if there's no kohen. So what it would appear is that if you say that kule alma lo pligi the choshev adif, then in the case of the sliced wheat bread and the complete barley bread, it would seem that everyone would say to make the bracha on the prusa shachitim, on the slice of the wheat bread. So what about the machlokas surrounding the tithing of the onion? Ki pligi the leka kohen. The machlokas comes out in a case where there is no kohen in the vicinity. Tisnan, kol mokom shiesh kohen termina yofe. Wherever there is a kohen in your vicinity, so then you're mafrish from the better one. The pasuk makes reference to veherim min achelboy. You shall tithe from the choice one. So the choice in the case of the botzal, the chatzi botzal gadol is more of a choice botzal than the botzal cotton, even though it happens to be sholem. So that's when there is a kohen. The cholmokum she'ein kohen. Here you have the machlokes. If there's no kohen, then Torei min hamiskayim, then tithe from that which has longer shelf life, and that's the whole onion that will last longer till hopefully a kohen will come around. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein torim elo min hayofe. Even though there's no kohen around, still you're mafresh from the better quality food item. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Now Rav Nachman goes back to the case of the loaves with the pieces on with regard to bread. So Rav Yitzchok says v'yorei shemayim yoytze yidei shnehem. Now the word shnehem, this is also something that is discussed in the Tosfos, but according to Rashi, yoytze shnehem, Rashi says yidei machlokes shel Rav Una v'Rav Yochanan. Yorei Shemayim will be able to fulfill the words of both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna said a bracha on the psisin is in order, and Rav Yochanan says it's only on the shlema. Now, what's the story of the Yorei Shemayim, the God-fearing individual who's yotzei both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan? Umanu, and who is an example of this? Mor Brei Duravina. The Mor Brei Duravina miniach prusa besoch shlemu botzea. He would take the prusa, the piece, and the shlema, the whole loaf, and put the prusa inside or underneath the shlema, and botzeh literally means and break bread. The Rashi says, "Miniach prusa tachas hashlema." He has a girsa of tachas hashlema. We have toch shlema. V'nimtzu shteim biyado, and lo and behold, both are in his hands. Ubotzeh. Omishtan, he then breaks apart from both of them, the whole and the piece, O min hashlema, or from the shalem, from the whole loaf. So by doing this, you're showing that the brocha that you're making is chal, applies to both the prusa and the shlema. Toni tano kamei d'Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Someone taught the following Tanaic source. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, by the way, was the most recent speaker in the Gemara. And the source that was taught in his presence is Miniach HaPrusa B'soch HaShlem U'Tzeo Mavarech, which is what Rav Nachman Yitzchok was himself featuring as far as how a Yorei Shemayim would behave. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok hears this source that basically featured the idea that he said a moment before, Omar Le, Ma Shimcha. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said to the one who taught over this source, what's your name? Omar Le, Shalmon. Amalei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, playing on his name, said, Shalom ata ushlemu mishnascha, you are complete, your teachings, your Torah learning is complete, shesamta shalom bein atamidim, that you created peace and amicability between the students. A reference to recognizing both opinions in one action. Amar of Papa Komodim bePesach, Shemniach Prusa b'Sof Shlema uBotzeah. Everyone agrees that on Pesach, the Prusa is to be held together with the Shlema, with dealing with matzis on Pesach on Seder night. And in the Seder night, so we make a Birchas Hamotzi, and we also make a Bracha of Asher Gishonu V'Susanu Alechiles Matzah. So Rav Papa points out that everyone who agree on Pesach, that the peace, the Prusa, shall be part of the Brachas. Once again, there are details here that we're not going to delve into in the course of our Gemara Daf Yomi Shir, but we are inviting anyone who's interested to learn during our Tosfos Shir more on this topic. So Rav Papa says that on Pesach night you will make the bracha on the Prusa as well. My taima, why is that? Lechem oniksiv. The pasuk refers to matzah as the bread of the poor, and it's customary for the poor to eat pieces, in other words, non-whole loaves. So that's the mitzvah of the night, and we represent that by holding the prusa during the bracha. Amar Rabbi Abba, b'Shabbos chayv olam lifzoa al shtei kekros. On Shabbos, every Shabbos, a person is supposed to make his lifzoa, literally means to pull apart the bread, it means to make the bracha of hamotzi over two loaves. My taima, what is the basis of the presence of two loaves? Lechem mishne ksiv. The pasuk says that they will collect on Erev Shabbos the mun, a double portion, and the mun is the counterpart to the bread on Shabbos. So since on Shabbos there were two portions that were collected on Friday, the second portion being for Shabbos, so we commemorate this with two loaves. Omar Vashi, Chazino Le, Rav Kahana, Dinokit Tarti Ubotza Chara. I saw Rav Kahana at the time of the Brocha, he held two loaves, and when it came to slicing the loaves, to distributing them, it was Botza Chara, he separated, distributed from one loaf. Rabbi Zera, have a Botza Akula Sherusa. Rabbi Zera, he would slice off a very large slice, enough akula for the entire shirusa, for the entire meal. People would eat their meals along with bread, so he would cut off on Shabbos a large chunk of bread for each person there to serve him for the large piece of bread to serve him for the entire meal. Amalei Ravina Ravashi v'ha komes chazi kirav sinusa. So Ravina says to Rav Ashi, this kind of behavior looks like something gluttonous. Omrale, so Rav Ashi answers, Kevan de kol yuma lo kovid hochi, since every day a person doesn't slice off a large chunk of bread, v'ho'idno kovid, and now, only now, on Shabbos, is he, yes, doing that. Lo mischazi kerev, since it doesn't create an impression of ravenous behavior, but it reflects on something unique to Shabbos. Rashi says, "Akula shirusa prusa gedola shoya daila lechol hasuda b'Shabbos." So it is, as we said, it's a special Shabbos behavior which is acceptable. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, ki havu misrami lehu rifta de iruva. When they would chance upon a loaf that was used to create an Eruv Chatzeres. Eruv Chatzeres is where different neighbors contribute toward a communal held basket of food, so as to join their different domains into one to allow carrying back and forth from the public, from the communal courtyard into their private homes. which is a Shabbos expectation if one wants to carry back and forth within these enclosed areas. So this is called Eruv Chatzeros, so that if he chanced upon a loaf that was used for the mitzvah of Eruv Chatzeros, he said, Hoyol, let's read from the Rav Ami of Rasi, three lines from the bottom. Rav Ami of Rasi, Kihavu Misra Milu, when they would chance upon Rifto de Ruva, Rifto's bread that was used as part of an Eruv Chatzeros, Mevorchen Ole Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. They would make their brocha of Hamotzi over that loaf. Amri Hoyo Visavid Ba Mitzvah Chada, since it was used already for one mitzvah, Navid Ba Mitzvah Chrini. Let's do another mitzvah, and in our bracha recitation will recite it over that particular loaf that was used as part of the food contribution toward the Eruv Chatzeros. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.